Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for all things Kings of War. Join your hosts, Mark Zielinski, Jeremy Duval, and Rob Phaneuf as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. I'm Rob Phaneuf, and tonight we're super excited to have the creative force behind Westphalia Miniatures back on the show. Kaweh, how are you doing tonight?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, I'm doing great. I was just telling you about the snow in Montreal. I'm not going there again. It's horrible, but I will survive it, hopefully. It gives me a lot of hobby time, a lot of inside time. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Getting adjusted to snow on the roads when you're driving.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's just like we don't have that sort of thing in Germany. We have snow. We also have, sometimes there's like strong snow and people put like chains on their wheels and that sort of thing. But like here, you know, that you have like these sort of like, industrial machines like going in front of your window and cleaning up. This is no, anyway. Yeah, good. Again, good for hobby time, good for the inside, you know. I shouldn't complain. Anyway.
What's going on at Westphalia Miniatures? It seems like every time I turn around, there's 50 new things going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on lately. We just finished a Kickstarter that was aimed at the RPG crowd, at actually a German RPG crowd. We have a long-standing game over there. It was, I think it was first released in 84. That was The Dark Eye, Das Schwarze Auge. It was basically an attempt of some German people to make like a Dungeons and Dragons in German, right? And it is still going strong in Germany, most of all, and has also now a US translation. So we spoke to these guys and we decided to make a range of miniatures for them. It was well received, we certainly stick to that bit. It's mostly like really real RPG characters, you know, like with fancy bits and like backpacks and that sort of thing. And so that was like our main activity at the site. However, we were working at the Feral Lands Kickstarter, which is more aimed at sort of like army guys, which I'm counting myself against. And so there's like more the classic choices of like here are the spear sort of like elves, here's the bow elves and that sort of thing. We have cavalry that's coming with that Kickstarter. It's quite a bit of stuff. And yeah, this is happening right now. Actually, we are very close to the Kickstarter. Actually, I'm completely done with everything at this point, which is rare. And every time I look at it, I think like, oh man, should I like tweak this a little bit and that? But I don't. I'm really done with it at this point. It got approved. You know, it's waiting there to be released, and I'm very excited about it. It's quite a unique range, right? Because you know, I'm always trying. You know, it's okay for me to reinvent something that was out there and that was good. You know, I think that's fair. You know, there's a lot of undead that come out that I like. You know, even though I would say like, oh yeah, that sort of like thing was there already. I like them because they are done in a different way or something like this. But I'm really trying myself to do something new. And I think we totally achieved that with that new range of elves. I must admit, as a boy, I was never a fan of elves. I always liked dwarves and orcs, always. You know, I wouldn't, if someone would have told me like, yeah, you're doing range of elves at some point later in your life, I would have said like, no. But here we are. And they're very sort of like violent, though, like very feral elves, so I guess. There's still like some of the old kid in me, you know, and I think it works well. I don't know if you've seen them already. I think I was sharing some pictures on Facebook, for example. And it's absolutely a great thing, and I'm keen for the guys out there to have a look at that. Honestly, I think I'm really proud of that. I think it's fair to say that.
You should. They are amazing models. The elves themselves look, as you said, they're kind of feral creatures of nature, you know, they're just kind of...
Yeah, exactly. I was actually, for Kings of War, I was thinking if I should really, like, try and introduce them into some elf list, or if I should try and make, like, a Forces of Nature list of them.
I think you positioned it right, though. People can do, they can do an elf list, they can do Forces of Nature. You've got some big beasts in there that can make herd armies out of it, so
exactly.
You've got a lot of options there. I mean, the herd has tribal warriors, well, a lot of these elves look very much like tribal warriors.
That's what I'm saying, right? So, I mean, mean, this is what I find so attractive about Kings of War anyway, that you can basically make up your own story, right, and proxy away, right? And I think this is why it's going so strong still, right, to a large degree. It's because people are just so excited about the modeling opportunities, right, that you have with that game. But anyway, yeah, again, I mean, with that range, I was actually trying to combine a couple of things that I really like. This is like, again, this feral thing of like, you have like the like in North America, you know, these sort of like rock formations in the prairies, you know, and there's like the First Nation people living, and just like in the highlands, you have like these sort of like white skinned, red haired people that live like in these sort of like very picturesque, like sort of like there's the rocks sticking out of the grasslands, you know, like in the north of the UK, and this is, you know, these things, you know, they kind of like they are very fantasy in a way. They have that right feeling for me, you know. I think the elves are just fit in there, right, like more than orcs in a way, you know, more than humans, because they are so much of nature creatures in a way, you know what I mean?
In most mythologies, they're the first race, and, you know, I mean, you start and end with elves, I mean.
In a way, I mean, this is even like as if it was like the early time of the elves, you know, like basically when the race became like turned from something more savage into something noble, you know, that sort of thing, you know. There's a lot of storytelling in that whole thing. And I mean, I'm actually painting up some of them right now. I hope to get them into the Kickstarter. I paint them up with like completely black skins, like more like dark elves of sorts, you know, and that kind of like are more like some elves that like steal the settler woman and sacrifice humans and that sort of thing. Because I think the stretch of imagination here, right, is like you don't have limits, right? You can just like paint up your figurines. I'm not Games Workshop and tell you like, oh, no. Yeah, these are like blue in their faces or something like this. It's really saying that. However, somebody was saying like that he would like to paint them as sea elves, right? And I think that's a beautiful idea, right? But yeah, anyway. So elves. They are there. They are out there, and they come with a couple of cows. Actually, we had a brilliant idea of making minotaurs that are not really like a cow-faced, classic cow-faced, but have a bison sort of like head, upper body. And they turned out incredibly well. I'm so excited about them. They have a lot of character. They look dangerous.
Who came up with the idea, though? A bisator? I've never heard of that. It's amazing. I mean, literally, the idea is crazy, but when you see the sculpt, it's amazing.
It is a fantastic sculpt, and we have three of them actually at this point. And the thing was that we kind of like first we wanted to kind of like have more of Pictish feel in that range, and later on with the feathers and everything, we realized, oh man, they look really like First Nation people. And then we added also the sort of like, I don't really know what the name of these extra overpants is that you wear when you're riding.
Yeah, cowboys wear like chaps or something that go over the top.
That sort of thing, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, so there's like this classic North American feel in there, right? So the next step was like, so okay, we want someone big in there, somebody like some sort of like line breaker, because if you look at the range, they are like very sort of like lightly armored and lightly dressed, you know, and it fits. I think it looks very consistent that way, but we wanted somebody in there that can like you know, there's like this armor clad roar of dwarves. What can you do, right? You need to send in the heavy guys, right? And the three guys that we have there do exactly that. They are like some sort of like a real stampede in a way, right? This is so that was the missing bit for me. And after we had that, I was like, all right, this is exactly what I wanted now that can be released into the wild. And again, I'm so excited for Tuesday because I really want to see what people think of that. Because it is, in my view, it's very unique, you know. And however, it's also in a way it's classic fantasy. However, it has a twist. It has a real twist.
Where did the original idea come from? I mean, were you just sleeping and one night you woke up and said, "I've got it. I'm going to do feral elves."
No. You know, I think there was somebody moaning on the internet. On the internet of like, oh yeah, there was never any, and I think he said that actually, that there was never any proper feral elves. And then somehow, that was years ago actually, and somehow things started to form in the back of my head very slowly, you know, and at some point it's always very helpful. So if I talk to Michael, because he's a very sort of like, he's a reenactor, a very good one at that, and historically very interested. And he always like adds a lot to the design process, so much so that I would almost say that these are his babies at this point. And Michael the Sculptor.
Michael Anderson.
Exactly. It's the same. And not only like it, does he give them, you know, these elves, if I look at the miniatures, you really have this elvish thing of being like distant, you know, a bit like out of this world, you know, like the way they carry themselves, you know, you can see that in the miniatures and the way he dressed them. Yet, you know, you see like these sort of like highland sort of like garments that they're wearing, yet they look like smooth and elvish in a way, you know. It's like he's just, I must say it, he's a fantastic sculptor and I love his work, really. It's outstanding. And yeah, I guess if it comes to like the design itself, I had the idea. I was carrying it to Michael and dumped it off, and he really turned it into something beautiful and something that I'm really keen to release into the wild. And I'm actually, it's one of the first sort of like batch of figurines that I got that I painted myself again, just because I like them so very much.
So what do you want to achieve with this Kickstarter? What's the purpose? I mean, obviously put your creative craziness out in the wild, but what's the end game?
Rob, the end game of doing that is that I get the miniatures that I want for myself.
Perfectly selfish, and that's great. Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, I just realized, you know, there's I'm not alone on this planet, right? And I mean, there's a lot of figurines that don't get released, for example, right? That I really keep for myself just because I don't really think there's like too much of commercial use to it. And also like, sometimes I just like, I get a miniature made of like a very well-known sort of like character out there, and Westfalia is not a company that would sort of like steal IP or like even go into that direction of like, oh yeah, that's a bit like, you know, you know, I wouldn't want that for us. But I would like to own these miniatures like remade. That's why I have like a couple of these miniatures in my collection. But as a general rule, the ultimate goal with a range like this is to play the miniatures in various armies, to have them nicely painted. I must say, I just sent you a couple of pictures and feel free to share them on whatever channel you like. And painted by Andrew Taylor, by the way. And he does a fantastic job. And who wouldn't want to play with miniatures like this, right? And I mean,
are we going to see this faction in Strong Sword?
Oh, by all means, of course. Michael Strong. He was actually writing a list for the elves in Strong Sword already. I was squeezing them into a little document. So not only will there be a list for the elves in Strong Sword, the higher pledge levels will also get the PDF rules for free. So as a little incentive to just like dive into it, because in all honesty, it's a fantastic set of rules. I appreciate it that the market for skirmish rules is really saturated. Right. And that everybody also has like his game already in place, like with his club and that sort of thing. But people give it a try. It is really a great, great and fun game, especially for people in our age. I think, Rob, you're a bit younger than me still.
45. So I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But yeah, I'm an old man, too.
You're actually a bit younger than me because I'm 46. But anyway, you're just younger than me, I suppose. But anyway, yeah, no, again, you know, you have your life in place. You have a job. You have kids very likely at this point and that sort of thing. So we just don't have the time that we used to for having a quick game, right? For just like popping into a friend's place and playing a game. And I really wanted a game that can be played with a few models, that can be played like this for 30 minutes to an hour or so. Larger games obviously can take longer. And I think this delivers Strong Sword. People test it out, but that's about it with advertisement. Back to the miniatures and back also to Kings of War, because as I mentioned before, I was thinking about Kings of War options already, because these miniatures, they are very animated, so they are screaming for some sort of like diorama action, right? And the bigger bases will be very fun, you know, with all the archers and that sort of thing, or also with the monsters and that sort of thing. So I'm really looking forward to what people make of it, because I mean, this is, to me, that's really part of the fun, to see what people come up with if they get the miniatures into their hands, right? crazy, beautiful stuff is all I can say. This is really like as if you get your kids married to wonderful people or something like this, right? It's like the best thing that can potentially happen. But anyway.
I mean, obviously, you've seen some of your stuff being used in various armies.
Yeah.
Have you seen any really cool projects that people have used your models?
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. Also, they share them on our page and everything, right? So often it's that people like do a couple of nice bases or something like this. We have a couple of really sort of like crazy painters that spend days and days on one single halfling, and of course they turn out like, wow, crazy quality, mind blown. But again, especially the Kings of War crowd, they make these incredibly nice big bases with like lots of little LUTs on them, right? And I mean, what can I say? Yeah, there's an army, for example, from a gentleman. He shared that on our page. I think Tim is his name.
From Texas, I believe.
I think.
Orange color scheme. He's got them on like rabbits and roosters.
Yes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Isn't
stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, and he's got a bunch of new stuff that he just showed at Alamo a couple weeks ago. So he's got a bunch of new stuff painted.
All right. Yeah, I must say, I'm really a huge fan of what he's doing, especially because he's like cutting things, you know, and like remodeling them. And this is what the hobby is all about for me, right?
Yeah.
This is where I feel like this is exactly what I want to see out there. It makes me, in all honesty, it makes me happy to see people putting this much, in general, with miniatures, not only with mine. In general, it makes me happy to see people like putting this much effort into their work. And on the Kings of War side, right, for, on the various Kings of War pages that are out there, you see that sort of thing, right? Like, also, obviously, also on the GW pages. However, the tone is always a bit like of a thing, right? And, the way people talk to each other or approach each other is find it complicated at times. Also in other communities, but that's about that. And here at this point, Westphalia is actually one big new thing that we only recently started that we're looking into is actually a page, a completely new sort of like business approach that is for ambitious hobbyists and sculptors alike. We will have dollies on that page. We will have tools on that page and that sort of thing, like the entire thing, even tutorials and so on, that will allow people to build their own miniatures, work with their own miniatures, work with dollies and have like good tips in place and that sort of thing, and how to make chainmail, blah. And it's really still a bit from being released, but we are working on that. And I think there's a lot of interest in that sort of thing out there. I mean, That's the thing that I'm interested in at this point, right? To kind of
Absolutely.
Like have fun with the things, you know, and change them and kind of like keep it somewhat professional also, right? And that's really Westphalia right now, as is. And it's not. Another project that we're working on that I forgot about. You heard about a very talented sculptor also from Brazil. His name is Boris. I'm not really sure on how to pronounce that. Wolosin, I think. This would be the Polish version of pronouncing this name. He had a very successful Kickstarter only recently with Twisted Catacombs. And he made like fantastic sort of like fantasy figurines. And with him, we also do a little range of fantasy figurines. They will be old adventurers, and I mean old, like really old lads and ladies. And this should be also a fun project because I feel it in my knees. I'm not this young anymore either, so it's a bit like reaching out to like-minded people.
Who's sculpting your new owlbear?
The new owlbear is actually also by Michael Anderson.
That's fantastic.
I know. That thing is crazy, right?
I don't even know what to say about it, because it's just the most, it is probably one of the coolest models I've ever seen. Posted a picture to our clubmate. And he looks at it and he goes, this owlbear looks angry. What is she protecting? And I was like, well, actually.
Have you seen the X-Men?
Right, exactly. Like, there's this background story. This, just from looking at the model, they knew there had to be a story there. And I'm like, that's really good sculpting.
And obviously, that guy comes with like a nice pair of axe and with a dwarf trapper, actually, you know, that has like the back already to like get the axe into, you know. So there's always like, I tell you, Michael Anderson is crazy, right? There's also, you can really see that like at Games Workshop, they kind of like forced him to do a lot of beaks. You know, because, I mean, honestly, you look into the face of that thing, this is perfection, right? I mean, this is...
It absolutely is.
I mean, and I would only say it because it's really like in praise of my sculptor. I'm not saying it to brag. I really love that thing, you know, physically, right? It's honestly, I'm not joking, Robert.
That's quite a talented person to be able to pull that off, to be able to do humans, seriously. Elves... ginormous owl bears. I mean, it's crazy.
Minotaurs. Yeah, exactly. You can just ask him everything and he does it and so nicely. And he gives it like his own very personal twist too, right? Because I'm not really giving him like, I'm not trying to box him in with what he's doing. If I give him like a direction, and often he doesn't like the direction and says like, oh no, I can't really do that. I don't want to do that. You know, let's do this and that. And it's kind of like the same sort of like general idea. It's different, but it's just perfect what he's doing, right? So, yeah, he's really, to a large degree, he's the creative force behind the projects that I'm running with him. And it always works very, very well. So, yeah, all praise to Michael at this point. And obviously, I like every sculptor all the same. They are all very, very good and talented men, and I respect them all for their skills. And yeah, however, Michael did a stern job with the Feral Elves. And again, I think I said that now 20 times, but I'm really excited to release these. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to be a big hit. And you kind of hit on it with Kings of War. They can be played as elves. And they can play as Twilight Kin or the Dark Elves. You can work them into the herd list because, you know, tribal warriors and guardian brutes would be perfect. You know, owlbears and stuff. You could literally, there's forces of nature. I mean, this is like one of those armies that you could take those models and play them in a number of different ways, either as a full army or as allies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was a bit like also what I had in the back of my head. I mean, in a way, when we design an army, we want this army to be complete, like, but it should feel complete. It doesn't really need to be complete for another game or so. And this is exactly what we achieved with that army. We have the classic choices, obviously. We have cavalry, we have infantry, we have character models that kind of like tie it all together. And we have like these smashing big guys, and you know, you feel it. You know, it's like if you look at a car and think like, yes, this the thing that drives well, right? And you know, it's not like sort of like a wheel missing or something like this. You know, this is like complete. You know, at least that's a feeling that I get from something. I don't know if that applies to other people out there, but yes, that's me. That's totally me.
So in terms of the sculpting for this new project, I assume you got most of it pretty far along.
Well, it's pretty much done at this point, really. And I didn't expect it to go as well, but yes. Also, I must say, I had to postpone the release because I'm still in the fulfillment of the Halfknechts at this point. We had a nasty problem, and we tried to import the files from BackerKit into our system. That should actually not be a problem, but the add-ons of the first batch of almost 100 pledges didn't get imported as they should have. So we have to resend like quite a few parcels at this point with missing add-ons. I mean, I told the backers already, I made an update. I guess it's the kind of thing that can happen because that was the first time that we used BackerKit at this point. And it didn't go smoothly. But anyway, it's in the works. We are almost done at this point. We likely will need to work like for a couple of days, a week, maybe even into the next Kickstarter, because we have now said it's like being released on the 20th, but we are almost there, right? And I mean, it's not exactly that like what we are doing is not transparent or something like this either, right? It's like, it's also not exactly our first Kickstarter. So it's all running for quite a while now. It's very sort of like, we are even considering if it's really still fair to go to Kickstarter at this point, to be honest. Because, you know, I was always annoyed with people like Cool Mini or not, for example, these multi-million businesses that basically clock Kickstarter and suck all the money out of there. But there's really tiny businesses that might actually rely on that sort of thing to kind of like grow to a point where they can actually, okay, we can take a deep breath and try it by ourselves now, which we feel at this point sometime soon we should actually seriously consider. Right, because I mean, we have an online shop and that sort of thing. I mean, I guess one needs to try to start releasing stuff without Kickstarter. Because again, you know, there is like a lot of new smaller businesses, and I would like to see them thrive because that's the hobby, right? you know, the more the better. And at least that's in my head, right? That's how it is. I think I'm still close enough to being a hobbyist myself rather than a businessman. You know, maybe that's not a good thing, but that's how it is anyway. So, and Kickstarter.
Kickstarter is a double-edged sword, right? At some point, you want to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. And, you know, I guess in your case, you're going to sell direct to the customer mostly.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, the sales are really good also. They are actually so good that we don't get behind with casting currently, because all our casters are stuck in Kickstarters. And but now we are through the, what do you call that, the bottleneck? Yes. And so soon we should have like, or sort of like the delays, the order delays should go down to normal, sort of like, I don't know, 1 week things or something like this. Yeah, because it was really bonkers at some point. It was hundreds of orders and that sort of thing. But we are there. We are pretty much.
Well, you opened the door. So let's talk a little bit about Halfman. When are we going to see some more Halfman? You've had 2 Kickstarters. Yeah, we're ready. I mean, I'm ready for some more Halfman.
Tell me a choice that you would like to see that we don't have yet, because in all honesty, maybe you haven't found them on the side. There's nothing that I could think of anymore. We even have a Halfman mage on a flying carpet. Please. I mean, yeah. But do you want naked Halfman? I don't know, man.
That's Halfman. a very good, well, I'll have to get back with you. But yeah, I think there's always room for more Halfman, right? I mean, you've got cultists, you've got traditional guys, you've got Robin Hood looking guys, you've got mounted, and you've got the old
Rich
Empire styled guy. I mean, you've got
Rich
a lot
hunters.
Of yes.
So, yeah. Okay. I mean, but this was like, it was the last Kickstarter that we did with the Halflings. That was basically like for some. I love to play personally Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, and like the miniatures were basically in the beginning they were made for that. So that's why there's also not so many different choices or something like this. Later on, we expand that a tiny little bit to make it more interesting also for army people, obviously, right? With the champion on the big goat, you know, that has like these various weapons and that sort of thing. But it all ties in together very well. And it turned out to be a beautiful range, actually, a fun range. And I'm very, very, very proud that we have made that. But this one won't go into the shop, for example. This will be a Kickstarter only. So I will, however, once I'm done sending all the parcels, I will make an update and telling that the people, for the sake of fairness, that they can make a last order of these if they want to, if they kind of like want to modify and like for a friend, whatever they want to do. Because I'm really, that would be too much for the shop. You know, in the shop, I need to clean up. Also, now I feel I have too many products. You know, I will cull a couple of miniatures. For example, the Halfman that currently have like 2 packs with 3 miniatures, that will be 1 pack of 4, maybe 5. I haven't really made up my mind. But yeah. Again, I will kind of like squeeze it together a little bit to make it just the handling more easy also for me, because that was a big issue for us, because we are so small and have so much different stuff. You know, it's just hard to handle at this point. And yes, Halfmen. Halfmen are great. Who doesn't like halflings, right?
Everybody does. I mean, you can use them as dwarves. You can use them as halfmen. You can use them in pretty much any army that's got a humanoid of some sort.
Right?
And you can just, I mean, they're just... And the way he sculpted them, they're characterful. They're extraordinary. I mean, they're amazing.
They're nice. This was a fantastic range, and it was also a nice way to kick off the fantasy stuff for Westphalia, because it's such a classic in a way. I mean, I remember having Halfling figurines of the Parries in my hands like 30 years ago. You know, when Citadel still had like metal bases, and actually I was a small kid at this point. You know, I loved them so much that I had them like on the side of the bathtub when I took a bath. You know, that sort of thing. You know, so I mean, I can when I say naked Halfman, there is something going on. But no, joke aside, right? This is just a joke, but obviously, The bathtub story is true. I really love these figurines. I still can remember them as if it was yesterday. But obviously, being so close to the water, I think it was lead rot started very early with these poor LUTs. But I bought them again at some point. Blah, blah. Yeah, halflings are great. I really have a weakness for halflings. I can only say there's not enough halflings in the world. People should make more halflings. But I feel I'm pretty much done at this.
If you're done, then it sounds like you need to make them some human companions. You know, there's a hole in that range for League of Rodria. You know, we need house militia. You know, we need militia, and we need battle shrines. There's all kinds of stuff that are.
I've read something funny lately. Humans are only dire halflings. Yeah, it's to some degree, yeah. And we have humans. We have actually humans with crossbows, with pole arms, and with swords and that sort of thing. They also sword quite well. They come like with some command choices, but we didn't want to push it too far because at this point they are really more like allies to the halfling force, right? Mm-hmm. If we would start a human force, a real human force, it should have a bit more character by itself. You know, it needs to be reinvented in a way. I really like that the halflings, for example, that these were like proper little warriors, which made them like something special because it's usually militia, right? You know, there's beautiful militia out there, halfling militia. I especially like the one from that North Star has, like the old ones there. But anyway, and yeah, also like this 100-year war sort of like attire, you know, with longbows and that sort of thing. It's just like a great army, you know, like this, again, this consistent feeling, this feeling of like, I have something complete. I also had that with these halflings at some point, you know, like with the gold cavalry and that sort of thing. It was like, ah, yes, you know, this is exactly what I wanted. Even though we made a second Kickstarter, as you might remember, it was like more sort of like, I don't know, Robin Halfoot.
Yeah, right. Well, but you've done three halfling Kickstarters, right?
Three, yes.
Yeah.
Believe this. Yeah. And they all did well.
Yeah.
Every single one of them did incredibly well. Much better than other Kickstarters, I must say. So people, it's not only me that likes the halflings, obviously.
Everybody
right?
likes halflings.
Everybody likes halflings. Yeah. I should make another halfling Kickstarter at some point.
So what's, you know, and let's talk about your kobolds that you made for Strongsword.
Yeah.
You need more kobolds, man. I mean, that could be a whole army unto itself. You could play them as salamanders. You could play them as goblins. You could play them in the herd. I mean,
they are, again, Michael Anderson figurines, right? So they are really, really tiny figurines, but so full of detail, right? And like you see them standing there, you know, it's like really a consistent thing again. However, this is really small force right now because I felt like kobolds, right? They are like really primitive little bastards. Right, they're not exactly one of those sort of like noble races that would develop some sort of like cavalry or something like this. However, we introduced that in some form or another with that sort of like centipede that it can also like as a line breaker, right? Like chase forward and that sort of thing. We always try to keep like these sort of like basic elements of warfare in our armies also, right? So that you have believable elements of warfare, right? Mm-hmm. Because obviously kobolds are very different from, let's say, like what high elves would be like, right? They are like living much more like on their elusive armor and that sort of thing, and like well-bred steeds and that sort of thing. And yeah, kobolds numbers, right? They need to be small. Mm-hmm. They need to come in swarms. They need to have like these nasty pit creatures with them that is like, yeah, that would be next thing. I kind of like, personally, I would like to have like a couple of kobolds in RPG sort of like garb, like the dignitary or something like this, you know, that is like the ambassador to some people, you know, or something like this. I think this is maybe missing a little bit. I don't know. I think this range feels actually like it's almost done. If somebody comes up with a good idea of what could be done, then yes, obviously. I mean, if I look at the goblin list, for example, at the goblin list from Kings of War, right?
Mm-hmm.
There would be a couple of things that I could think of that could be done also with a little twist, you know? I mean, even chariots and that sort of thing would be possible.
Chariots.
Right.
We have Mobby's packs.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you could use the centipedes as trolls if you wanted. But the trolls, I mean, all kinds of things that live deep down underground.
You're right. Everything that lives in a wet pit and is kind of like a bit nasty, a bit stupid, you know, that's kind of like, I was almost thinking about doing like some sort of like Dungeons and Dragons army style army, you know, like with a beholder as like some overlord and kind of like putting that together. However, I was playing that more like as some forces of nature sort of thing. But trolls is always like a thing, right? I mean, a good troll, this is really also still missing. However, I'm not yet done with trolls. In the back of my head, it still needs to work. I don't know if I want them hairy, if I want them super brutal or really stupid, you know. There's like so many good trolls out there, good mm-hmm. ideas. And some of them have also been very properly used lately. I think the Nordic troll, for example, is like, I love them. They are so fun. However, there's like a couple of really good ones out there now, and also sort of like, I feel like the trolls that I need, that I want to make, they need to be a bit more special, right? Unique, if you will. And I haven't really, I don't really have a good idea what they should be like, but I will have trolls at some point. There's no doubt about that, right? This is like, I need trolls. But I like that, where this is going. Actually, but one of the things that someone was suggesting, and I might actually really do that, you can buy on eBay. It's a bit grim, but you can buy on eBay a tub with dry insects. Hmm. And if you can just like basically spray them so that they are like a bit stiff, you know, put them on a base, and then you have like a lot of suitable monsters that would come sort of like with this insect idea of the kobolds, you know, that would come along with it. However, I have a bit of like, you know, these were former animals, even though they were like very primitive animals. It feels a bit weird, you know, mm-hmm. like on wargaming basis, if you catch what I'm saying here. You know, I'm not like a hippie or something like this. You know, it kind of like says like, oh God, no, life needs to be protected by all means and I don't need meat. It's just like, you know, it's a bit grim somehow, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway, this is like something that I was thinking about. Obviously, I can't really sell that to people, you know, boxes with dead insects. Man, that would be something, right? Selling boxes of dead insects on the Westralia page. No,
that would be unique. I know your latest Kickstarter was the hero, the Dark Eye.
Yeah.
Where are you at on that one?
Well, I mean, Paul Hicks, which was main sculptor, is still doing a couple of miniatures at this point. He needs to finish them, and he actually promised me to be done by the middle of next week. Because he is a bit late at this point, but he had actually jury duty coming up. And that bogged him down a little bit. And he also has obviously other customers still. He is not employee per se of Westphalia. Mm-hmm. So he had like to please everybody else also. And now, again, I think middle of next week, we'll be pretty much done with the sculpting. And then I will tell the people at that the pledge is open like for one more week, and then the order goes out, casting will start, and biff, according to plans, that should be done within 3 months. And however, I was giving myself a lot more sort of like time in the fulfillment schedule. So I think it's just playing safe, right? I mean, if somebody says like, oh yeah, a year of waiting is too long for me, I'd rather have these people checking out than if something goes wrong on my end. Right, I want to be safe, right? I did that a couple of times that I was planning very tightly, and I was always like a month late, a month, 6 weeks, or something like this. You know, it's annoying if you make actually a promise, you know, and you try to be on time, and then you are, okay, it was never that I kind of like let anybody down, ever, never, ever, right? If people come back and say, I make sure that I send the miniature out with the next order or something like this, or I even send them back the money, and never let like somebody, oh yeah, a broken spear. He gets a new miniature. That's just how it is, right? Because it can't be that I send something out, it breaks, and then I say like, nah, no, or something like this, right? So that's also part of the reason why it's not maybe the quickest operation on the planet, right? Because if you just like churn out stuff and don't look left and right and don't go the extra mile, obviously, it goes all much quicker. But by doing that, by being very careful, I think we come up with a quite a unique product that is of a great quality.
You either have a very good eye or you're very lucky, because the sculptors you work with are very talented.
They are, as a matter of fact, yeah. I'm working with them for a long time also, right? I mean, at this point, yeah. Actually, I found Paul Hicks' first invoice where just like looking through stuff lately, and I realized, oh God, that's already 8 years, you know? And, so that goes so quick. Right. And I mean, in 2 years, we have like 10 years anniversary, man. You know, I mean, this is.
You've already done 10 Kickstarters. You're moving into your 11th.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to do for the 10 year anniversary? Because you got a heck of a, I mean, you're going to have to do something big.
Yeah, I'm planning actually something really big, and I'm working towards it already, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And in the background, and it should be something that is like banging the drum and like everybody should hear it, you know. And I want to be also, it should be something that's very sort of like pleasant for people to celebrate with us. That is really like, they should get something really nice out of that party, so to say. And again, yeah. I'm planning already.
I mean, you've got a lot of going on. I mean, you've got halflings over here, over there. You got halflings everywhere. Now you're going to have elves.
Yes.
That's going to add to your kobolds and your centipede. I mean, your range is pretty prolific.
Yeah. It is, as a matter of fact. I like to believe that that's true, right? And you know, I mean, if you want to be really excited about something like this, then you need to make something that is on the very top end of what you can reach in a way, right? Mm-hmm. You you should never like take like the easy solution. You always need to kind of like pain yourself a bit with getting somewhere, because then you always get something special out of it, right? This is just an eternal truth. It's just how it is, man.
I also saw on your website a little thing for Gary Chalk Miniatures. What's the story there?
We have a couple of them already. And we spoke together. Gary is a nice old British badger. And he, we struck an agreement that we do from his drawings also, that also covers like obviously the classic old drawings from the Lone Wolf books, that we do sets of miniatures. So we will, for example, we'll see like a little army of Geaks, you know, that come like with the big sort of like, what's the big guy's name? That sort of like lizard that has the big battle axe. So they kind of like, there will be various regiments and that sort of thing. And there will be also a couple of sort of like vignettes, like bar scenes and that sort of thing, like that really go along with his illustrations. There will be most notably also an art book that we put together right now. So we're collecting his illustrations and that sort of thing and put that together. So there will be... Yeah, that will go to Kickstarter for sure. And that, however, will take a while because it's quite a bit of work to do that properly. I said 2019. I hope it's during 2019 that we will see that. Maybe it will be 2020. But again, that's it should be a product.
When you go to Kickstarter, your sculpts are usually done or pretty close to it. And so your time frame, you're like, this is not Kingdom Death Monster where we got to wait 10 years. You know, I mean, we're waiting 6-9 months and here it is.
You know, the thing is with Kickstarter, you know, it's not exactly, that's why I'm saying also, is Kickstarter really the right thing for us still at this point, right? To all for the sake of fairness, because now we are capable to get a lot finished, right? Up front to Kickstarter. And which is, in all honesty, it's important to do, right? People need to see what they get. And with 3D sculpts, you see that obviously, but I like 3D to some degree also. And however, it's nothing that I employ on a regular basis. So I just like, if you want to tell people what they get, right? They need to see that. I really made the... I'm a graphics artist myself, so I know of the importance of you see something, you know, that is completely different from if you read something, right? If you read something, it needs to be very well written to trigger something up there. If you see something that's pretty, it happens right away. It's candy. It can be swallowed. It's beautiful, right? And that's why I feel it's only fair also that people see what they're going to get. And, you know, if that Kickstarter goes incredibly well for some reason or another, then obviously I ask my people, hey, what would you like to see next? Would you like to see like a feral elf queen riding like some sort of like a Briton chariot or something like this, you know, with like some moose in front of it, you know, just like with the Halfman, right? It was a campaign that went well, I must say. And so obviously I was giving the people another campaign. They were asking for it, they got it, right? I mean, so... I think that's a fair way of doing it, right? People are very much on the safe side. Maybe you don't have this excitement of like going, leaving your money with somebody who's a bit like, I wouldn't say fishy, but maybe not as experienced as settled, right? And kind of like where it's more like of a gamble also, maybe to a tiny little bit of a degree. I mean, I would never badmouth another company or something like this, but obviously it happens that things go south, right? And, so maybe this excitement, it's interesting, actually. I think maybe this excitement is actually somewhat important for certain people, that they consciously pledge on Kickstarters, you know, to kind of like follow the unfolding drama in a way. And anyway, fair enough. If this is your thing, right, go for it, right? Because
Well, Kickstarter is a great marketing tool, right? Whether or not you can afford to do it without yourself, you're getting more eyes on your project. And what I think one of the things I like about Westphalia is you got small projects, you got big projects. We've talked about the Halfman, I mean, huge bonkers project. But then you had the Bards and Beasts project, which is just a small little project to make a few humans and a few cool monsters. So you know what I mean? It's, you know, I guess you said it before, you're making these the models you want to play with.
Exactly. That's why you have things that range from like steampunk apes to Napoleonic Persians, and in the end to you see here feral elves, right? Because I had my first soldiers. These were flat, sort of like metal soldiers that were made in 1930s in Germany that my granddad passed on to me when I was like five. You know, I was not even in school at this point. So to me, it was always a big thing, like having little soldiers, right? And never stopped. And why stopping now? You know, I mean, it's just so much fun. It's so much fun, really. And now that I made basically, I mean, for the sake of fairness, I must say I work obviously also like in my real sort of like former field, you know, of work to make some real money, but to support also the business. But Westphalia at this point really is like working out by itself in a way. I mean, it would already generate like some sort of like a living in a way, right? I wouldn't really want to live only on that, but yes, it's
good that it's just self-sustaining, right? You're not having to put more. Exactly. I mean, if it's standing on its own 2 feet, that's exactly. a good thing, and you get the benefit of having all the cool models you could possibly want.
Exactly, man. You know, win-win situation. You know, there's a lot of people that actually enjoy the models too, so it could be much worse, right?
What do you do? What's next? We got the Feral Elves. That's November 20th. I mean, you've got this other project. You hinted at. I mean. You must have like five. Are you planning five or six projects ahead?
Absolutely, I'm also working on them. I mean, I can just give you a quick one. There's like the old adventurers that I do with Boris Volanchin. There's more adventurers that I do actually with Michael Anderson. There's this dolly thing, the dolly site that I built mostly also with Michael Anderson. Like we have a lot of the dollies already in place. I just need to do like the web design, that sort of thing. It's like a lot of work, and then we have more. What was the other thing? The scary charge thing, obviously, right? And there's miniatures being made for that and so on and so on. And we have like this sort of like 2020 party when we happen to be in business for 10 years, right? And this is like, again, this is something very much in the background. And but there will be also some sort of like magazine at some point, you know, that also is with miniatures, with some mini games, most of all, most notably. So it's all coming together. And there's like also more people obviously than me working on all of that. Like we have a lot of contractors that work on this sort of thing. And as you said, self-sustaining, it's not exactly I take money out of Westphalia. The money that comes in, I mostly reinvest. It also keeps me safe in terms of taxes. I don't get hit with that sort of thing if I just reinvest pretty much everything, right? But the business keeps growing, right? And this is that's a fun thing. So value is generated in background, so to say. And, yeah, and so, I mean, I guess that's enough, really, for such a small company.
Oh, yes. So, how has business changed relocating to Canada from the UK?
You know, I would have liked to stay in the UK, to be honest, but the bloody Brexit thing, that was really blowing it for me, right? Because, I mean, I have so much business going out of the country, and still, they don't know where this is going, right? And, I mean, I understand that many, many Brits, actually, that they obviously that they have to stay there and that sort of thing, but since I'm not British, you know, I had to make a choice, right? Do I really want that? I mean, my German friends that are still in England, they don't yet know what their status really is, you know, but it will be after that thing, after what goes down right now, after depending on who grabs the power right now. So I'm not unhappy that I left for business reasons, but I'm very unhappy that I left for personal reasons, because as you can imagine, the hobby is huge over there. I mean, I had a hobby store that had everything like down the street and blah, blah, blah. We had like two game cafes in the city, you know, and you're spoiled for choice, really.
But we have Adepticon here in North America, so you could come to Adepticon now. It's a lot easier.
I guess I should. I guess I should actually bring some wares. I need to check that out. I need to look at their website and possibly even like look into like renting a little stall, you know, coming down with like a little sort of like lorry sort of thing. And I mean, it's important to show my face also now that I'm in America. I kind of like need to make sure that people know that I'm there finally, right?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we would love to have you at any event. I mean, there's lots of events across the country.
I'd be excited to shake hands, man, you know?
What else did we not cover? I mean, it sounds like, you know what you need? You need eagles. You need some kind of eagles for this army, for these elves.
Oh.
I'll take your... eagles. You know, I don't know whether that's elves riding the eagles, or if they're just giant eagles coming down to attack.
Oh, God.
You know,
I like that. I was thinking about eagles and moose, to be honest. I thought about like some sort of like heavy cavalry.
Like a Canadian thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, I thought about eagles and I thought about moose cavalry and I thought about this sort of like elf queen that rides like the sort of like ancient Britain chariot, you know? This was like really tickling me, these three things still. Maybe it depends on how, I mean, this is what Kickstarter is good for, right?
Absolutely. And timberwolves. I don't know how you get timberwolves in here, but you need timberwolves too. I don't know if it's like lichens that are timberwolves or, you know, I don't know.
Trusted hunter animals, that sort of thing. Yeah, it's. I know, there needs to be more animals. I agree about that. There needs to be more. However, maybe some giant coyote even or something like this, you know, something like.
The coyote would match the bison.
Rest
sure.
A bit, you know. Yeah, exactly. You know, with some feather attachments in the ears, you know, something that like, again, you know, this is something that needs to fall into place. It needs to be like, needs to feel right at some point. And I know there's still room to put something into that range, but let's see how that goes, man. Maybe one more word about Kickstarter, because I think this is something important that a lot of people forget. Kickstarter is beautiful for one reason. It was cutting the middleman. The middleman in that case for a company like us, for example, you know, the middleman takes like 30, 40, 50% discount depending on how big they are and how much they sell, right? And that doesn't leave so much left for you. If you do it via Kickstarter, however, you get your share, right? I mean, Kickstarter takes a couple of percent and so on and so on. You lose maybe 10% on the way, but you make quite a good share. So it's a good thing that you don't have to deal with like what we call in video games publishing, right? Some people that are big enough and that have like sort of like the marketing muscle that can flex the marketing muscle for you and then sell like copies just because they can, right? This is why Kickstarter is a beautiful thing and it should be respected. Because it's really an important thing for me anyway.
Well, one of the things that Kickstarter also is going to do is, you know, there's going to be a bunch of people backing these feral elves on Tuesday, November 20th.
Let's hope.
And then they're going to start communicating. They're going to open up this line of communication with you and they're going to say, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And it's like, where else can you talk directly to your customer as they're, I mean, they're basically signing up for your vision for this army and they're helping you develop it. And so,
well, that's the fun bit also, right? If there's people coming from all over the world and telling you how they feel about it, you know, what could be done and what they're missing, you know, and this is how new ideas shape up, right? This is a really important part of the business also, to interact with customers that I actually really appreciate the work also. That's why I'm really happy also that we made it finally through that bottleneck and that I don't have to answer emails like giving updates of like, when is my order coming, but can now say like, all right, yes, this is like the direction that we are taking. And yes, I can like get some of the old models recast for you. Thank you. You know, like the pleasant stuff, right? It's like, it's a lot of work. Honestly, it's a lot of work. And also to get to help a company that grows quickly, you know, like with the resource, with the casting resource, that was really challenging. I must tell you that, you know, it's all of a sudden, like the first caster that we had was not enough, the second caster was not enough, and so on and so on. And these people, they are good guys, you know, they work hard. But, you know, you can't also, to the outside, you can't really, you are responsible for your project. You feel like there's only so much that you can tell people about, like what's going on internally, right? Because you're basically, it's all about playing fair, right? And you are honest with them, but like, for example, I mean, at some point, one of our contractors' mom was passing, right? So, I mean, this is nothing that I would ever tell, like, in this very moment, like, to like, a very sort of, like, to a crowd that actually expects their stuff, right? So, I mean, this is just something you got to suffer through that and kind of, like, manage through that in a way. Right. So, but again, you know, it's like, so is life, right? And it works well enough. It works absolutely well enough. You know, I mean, we have so many orders. I mean, this is really not our worry, right? The worry is more like that I don't want people to think that I don't care or that I'm slow because I don't care or something.
I mean, I've backed a lot of Kickstarters with you, and
oh, yes,
your communication is very transparent and you're always, you know, you're always one step ahead and you know, you're honest, which is, you know, really all that people can ask. You tell them what, you know, give me a realistic expectation, even if it's 2 months late, that's fine. I think people get upset is when, you know, they either don't hear from the creator or, you know, that's really the big one. If there's just no communication, then people get upset. But, you know, I'm looking at this thing though. Where are the centaurs? You need centaurs in this army.
Okay.
Can you imagine what you could do with a chimera? You could do something really crazy. The three animals that's on the chimera, you could give it like this indigenous spin that I think.
Oh man.
I don't know what it would be.
Yes, yes. I like that. I like that very much. Chimera. Yeah, absolutely. Oh God. Yeah, some sort of like North American type, you know, like with bison head, with mountain lion head, you know.
Kawe, I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. And please cut it down to size, right? It's just like, you know, if I chat actually with somebody about the hobby, it's always I get a bit carried
away. This is what our show's about. So
okay, fantastic.
Thank you, sir. Have a great evening.
Okay, thank you. Same to you. And see you on Tuesday, I guess.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by posting on our episode thread on the discussion forum found on manticgames.com. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.